Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter to you. I'm going to do an Easter show. I have learned much as a doctor, as an individual, from what I consider the meaning of the resurrection of Christ. To me, science and the resurrection of the Christ have a relationship. It's a relationship I want to discuss with you today. It's an important relationship. It's a relationship that exposes much about why we suffer. And why we suffer, for a doctor, is a real big issue. I mean, the personal life of a doctor is a life that each and every day over the decades, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you listen to a lot. You experience a lot of suffering with the people you care for. And it rubs off on you. And you have to have perspective. No doctor that has consciousness fails to ask himself along the way, why do people suffer? Because of what you see. I don't know what your life is like. I do know all of us suffer. Personally, I know we share suffering with others. But a doctor? A doctor that really digs his elbows in. It's day in and day out. That's the life you choose as a doctor. So, at perhaps a younger age, you have to really develop perspective on this. Why do people day in and day out come in, tell their story, ask for help? And lo and behold, as the intimacies develop, do you realize how deeply, how long, how privately your patients have suffered? Now, medicine, unfortunately, largely seems to dismiss this. And I think any of my listeners and most people in holistic medicine know that, of course, this is ridiculous. Your suffering is very much integrated into your symptom, into your chronic symptom, into your disease. And therefore, whether you are the doctor, whether you are the patient, you must develop a perception, a perspective on why you suffer. Tomorrow we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate the life of Christ. And it's incumbent upon us to learn what value is it for us to study the life of Christ and the resurrection and the crucifixion and the agony in the garden. This is where we're going to go today, because the life of Christ has much bearing on healing and health and on how you should suffer and what potentially can bring us to the other side of that suffering. And it's been wonderful for me as a doctor over 25 years to realize that there's so much in the human organism. There's so much in the human body. There is so much in science that supports the wisdom of Christ. They should never have been separated. Perhaps science and religion should have been separated, but not science and God. But we have, for the most part, succeeded at this. And I will extend to you today the mistake of that. But the slant here is for us to go into the life of Christ and draw links to the great achievements over his short life. And what we've been given, in that we are in his image, what we've been given in the human organism to help us reach, well, not the same, we are not God, but similar levels. Is there a human experience bestowed to us by the organs put in our bodies, by the systems, by the physiological systems, that can bring us to ecclesiastic states? As always, get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com. Straight Talk with two T's, .cc. I want to talk to you about the agony in the garden. I want to talk to you about the crucifixion. I want to talk to you about the resurrection. And then I want to jump into the science. So let's, as best we can, in brief, let's, for argument's sake today, go to three or four great moments in the trial, tribulation, and resurrection of Christ. And I want to begin in the agony of the garden. Now, on the website, that's straighttalk.cc, pictures one, pictures two, pictures three commemorate the agony in the garden. These are Baroque pictures. I like the Baroque era. It's more flowery, plush, colorful than a lot of your Renaissance renditions. So if you can get to the website, check out these pictures. Whether you're on picture one or two or three, this is the agony in the garden. This is before the crucifixion. And this is where Jesus asks himself, as God, as man, asks himself why he has to suffer. He knows he's going to be crucified. And I think it's shallow to say that it's because he knows he'll resurrect. I think it's shallow to say because he knows he'll resurrect that he did not suffer. He is suffering that night in the agony in the garden. Now I'll extrapolate, but he must have been asking himself why. The same way we ask ourselves why. The same way my patients ask themselves why. Bad things happen to good people. And when bad things happen to good people ask themselves, why me? Why do I suffer? Jesus is asking himself why he suffers. Here he is a prodigy. I mean, he's the guy that had it all. Brilliant, handsome, wise beyond his years, influential, charismatic. And he finds himself as a truth seeker, as a man of virtue, he finds himself condemned to crucifixion. The science of crucifixion. Crucifixion is an extraordinarily painful way to die. It is a torturous way to die. It is not an easy way to die. It's not biting into a cyanide capsule. It's not taking an overdose of sleeping pills. It is, in fact, a true torture. That was what was reserved for Christ. Torture by crucifixion and the humiliation of it. Being crucified in between two real sinners, two thieves, murderers, whoever they were. Reprobates were they, with Christ in the middle. And all of this is being contemplated upon in the agony of the garden. Now, what I have always found fascinating, and it doesn't matter which era in time which period in art history we look into, there are always angels there. And you see in all three pictures, picture one, picture two, picture three, Christ as he suffers is almost invariably depicted as suffering in the presence of angels. And I think this really and truly demands some inquiry, because it's very easy to misunderstand why those angels are there. Look at picture number three, if you can, if you're just driving, if you're driving, just follow, I'll explain. There, picture number three is a great picture, sort of a common theme where the angel leans its head upon Christ's head, wraps an arm, and comforts him. And I think this is very easily misunderstood. And even if I misunderstand it, I will still argue from my point of view, because I think mine is most relevant. It is not that Christ suffered in the garden and the angels came to comfort him, to give condolence, to give sympathy. I want you to consider an alternate perception of that night in the garden. Jesus goes into solitude, reaches down to faculties within himself that was supremely developed by virtue of his birth, supremely developed these faculties, and he connects to the Father in heaven. And that communion creates a magnetic field that materializes a level of joy, a level of knowing, a level of connection with something outside the worldly realm. And that this capacity, so clearly mastered by Christ, this capacity, which is a lesson to all of us when we suffer, is really where you derive the comfort. Those of us who suffer, can we use faculties, and we will discuss these faculties later, faculties we have been given in that we are in his image. Can we go in? Can we train systematically, obediently, faculties put there within us, body parts that we can call into activation to bring ourselves to a more steadfast experience of our suffering? And mastered at the level of Christ, certainly you will illuminate yourself in that time of your greatest suffering. That to me is what those angels mean. Those angels are not there in the human sense of sympathy. Those angels are there to celebrate that achievement, to celebrate that communion, to be able to go into your deep recesses of your soul so that the gates of heaven can immerse you. That to me is the agony in the garden. And this is so relevant for people who are sick. If you're sick, if you suffer symptomatically, if you have a fate that makes you afraid, I'm going to suggest to you, and I'm going to elaborate on this in a moment, that there are mechanisms given to you that are asking you for inquiry, and that there is a return, a true return, that there is potentially enormous benefit to go inside yourself to train those inherent mechanisms, God-given, and they are about the physiology of you. I am not talking esoterically. I am talking about real time.